You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Jurgen Klopp benches some of his superstars, and the risk pays off for Liverpool in the title race as they sweep aside Fulham 3-1. Arsenal put on a controlled performance with a 2-0 win at Wolves after slipping against Aston Villa and Bayern Munich the week prior, and Everton outlast Nottingham Forest 2-0 in a battle between points-deducted clubs, which featured some controversial refereeing decisions and left Forest fuming. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Okay, Musty, but before we get started on this week's drama in the Premier League and the FA Cup, we're now less than 100 days from the start of this summer's Paris Olympics. And Pro Soccer Talk's Joe Prince Wright, our buddy, is continuing the countdown of the top 10 moments in Olympic soccer history. Head to nbcsports.com/soccer. to watch moment number 5, and a certain Lionel Messi's dominant showing at Beijing in 2008, which propelled Argentina to a second consecutive gold medal. And stay tuned for moment number 4 that comes up this Thursday. So some great goals, some great Olympic memories from Joe Prince Wright, our buddy Pro Soccer Talk. But all the soccer talk, my friend, this weekend was FA Cup and top of the Premier League. Let's start with the top of the league. Let's start with Liverpool. After a pretty disastrous week in terms of European football and getting beat last week, they went to Fulham. They got the job done. Jurgen Klopp was able to change one or two people. And does this feel like Liverpool back on the road, Rob, on the right tracks again?
Well, yeah, it has to. It has to, Rob. When you look at the league table, that's all you need to do, to look at the league table. I mean, it's the joint top of the Premier League. Same games played as Arsenal, same points as Arsenal, 74 points. Of course, City has a game in hand. If they win that, they'll go 2 points ahead of those two sides. But that's a big if. And it was a big call from Jurgen Klopp, Rob, because, as you see, they made a lot of changes. I think there were 6 changes, the most he's ever made between one Premier League game and the next game. And I think Rebecca on our show was very like, wow, this is kind of a big risk from Jurgen Klopp. And there is an element of risk to it. Yeah. I think at some point, you know, he's paid to make the big decisions. And he knows his squad, his team, and how they're looking condition-wise, fitness levels-wise, injuries-wise, than anybody else. And he made those changes. Yeah. Second half of the game, Rob, I thought the game slowed a little bit. It stretched a little bit as Fulham, I don't know, I just feel like this time of the season when you're in nothing to play for really for Fulham in some regards. Of course, there's tons to play for in other regards, but just in terms of the league position, you know, I think it's easy just to come off the pace a little bit. And I think Liverpool enjoyed that. The game became stretched, both length of the field and across-wise. And yeah, we did see the star players come in later on, but there was no drama about that. There was no desperate need for that. And it ended up being a good day, Rob. Good day for Ryan Gravenberch, who, after he scores his goal, it's amazing what a goal does for you as a player and a team. Just
confidence.
Even after that, Rob, he looked light. He almost scored another goal and he looked much sharper. So good for him. Diogo Jota again, he's such a brilliant player. Brilliant player. There's just got to be room in the team for him. He gets his goal as well. And Trent Alexander-Arnold, Rob, is a story as well. The free kick, his contribution, his quality. Maybe missed more than a lot of people, maybe myself included, have talked about Alexander-Arnold being out for this team, but coming back and the free kick was sensational.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Rob, because you look at the front three with Diaz, Jota and Gakpo starting, Gravenberch getting a goal as well. You know, with Nunes, with Salah on the bench, a game against Everton coming up, the rivals, I think, is Tuesday, or is it Wednesday? Wednesday, I think, Wednesday, this week. Yeah. You know, we saw last week, didn't we, at Palace, where Liverpool created so many chances and you know, didn't take one of those chances and ended up losing a game 1-0 to a goal they conceded early. So important that other people can be scoring. It's not just Mo Salah. And if Nunes is having a Nunes day where we know he's a threat, we know he's going to have chances, but is he always going to be in the right frame of mind to take them? If Jurgen Klopp and this Liverpool team are to win the title, it might need Jota, it might need Gakpo, it might need Gravenberch to come in and just bring in a fresh element. When I look at like an Arsenal, you see Trossard getting his goals, don't you? And you see other people who can get the goals. I think Liverpool, their reliance is so big on Mo Salah. It's good to see other people sharing in the goals and sharing in those big moments and those feel-good moments, because I kind of feel like Liverpool are going to need the depth of squad if they are going to finish on top.
Yeah, and I just think in so many ways this is such a good outing for Liverpool, because now when you look ahead to Wednesday, yeah. Everton away, Goodison Park, we saw the atmosphere today, we'll get on chat about those later on. It can be a big atmosphere at Goodison. Well, it is a big atmosphere, was today in their game against Nottingham Forest, and now they can take a breath. You know, this is Sunday to Wednesday, a couple of days in between, and those players that he really wants to play, needs a bit more sharpness from, he should have it. He really should have it now, and I think oftentimes, Rob, as well, when other players come into the team and do well and score, then the ones who are left out come back in with a new sense of purpose a little bit. I'm thinking of Darwin Nunez that really needs to...
Yeah.
He needs to produce his best stuff for Liverpool now going forward. And also, after Everton, which is Wednesday, and that will not be an easy or comfortable game for Liverpool, after that, it goes Saturday, next Sunday, then the Monday, then the Sunday. Rest between, none of the midweek games, no kind of 2 or 3 days between matches. They can take a breath, they can prepare, they can train, they can get in good shape. That's all they've got to worry about now. Jurgen Klopp said it. He's going to put everything they've got into this title race. Such an important day today, I thought, Rob, with them coming through, no drama, kind of comfortable second half. Good news for the manager.
So as a manager, Rob, as a manager, do you go back to Nunes and give him the gauntlet, or do you go, well, Jota's come in, Jota's scored, Jota stays in my team, and Nunes will be on the bench, kind of chomping at the bit to get on and prove his worth? Where's his loyalty go now? It's about putting out his best team, isn't it, to beat Everton?
Great question, and I think it is. For me, you know, Mo Salah, Rob, I guess he's got to start. But
you almost feel like he's got to start, hasn't he? Because if for any reason you don't win the game and he doesn't start, one, you're kicking yourself. Yeah. Two, people are going to be questioning. But I know what you're saying. Like, if in 45 minutes or an hour, Rob, it ain't happening for him. He'll be sitting next to you because that's where you are with Salah. And Nunes possibly. I think you start Salah. I think you probably bench Nunes would be my possible thinking.
I'm looking now. For me, you've got to play Jota, right? So I think it'll be Salah on the right side. Yeah. I think Diogo Jota up front as the nine. And Luis Diaz, Rob, on the left. Now, I know that Gakpo played on the left today, Rob. He kind of played the left side.
I saw that, yeah.
But Diaz just got that little something that I don't know, I love his energy and his fight again in a derby, Merseyside derby, I like that. So that will be my front three. Now, I don't know how different
it's going to be. 1v1v Ashley Young,
yeah.
Yeah, 1v1v Ashley Young down that side might be interesting as well. His little trickery.
Into midfield, Rob. Let's do the same thing. What will his best midfield be? Are you wanting Endo to hold? McAllister's got to come back in. He's got to come back in. Now, I think he comes back in for Harvey Elliott.
Sure.
So is it Endo holding and McAllister as an eight and Gravenberch as an eight or Szoboszlai? Is it McAllister holding?
Yeah,
I mean, there's options. I think you've got to play Endo, in my opinion, in that game. Who can dig a little?
I would play Endo in that game because I think you're going to have enough possession. I don't think Everton are going to move you around enough. I think you go McAllister in for Elliott. I would probably go Szoboszlai for his dynamic ability to get to box, although he's not been in the greatest form. But I would probably
Gravenberch,
a bit like Salah, Rob. Yeah. Listen, I'm I just like that little bit of power and dynamism in Zobber's Lie. Yeah. And like you say, listen, horsey for courses, I would probably go Zobber's Lie just for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's going to be fascinating. A good game. Good game. Last game for us to do here on the Sunday, the 11:30 game, Eastern time, and Jürgen Klopp.
Yeah, we're formatted, Rob. I only saw the end because I ended up watching, got drawn into the Manchester United experience that we'll talk about. It's like a ride at Disney, Manchester United at the moment. You don't know what you're going to get.
We had it in the corner. There's a screen that we had as well, Rob, and it's like, what is going on over there?
Like, it's incredible. It was incredible. But let's just take me back to Fulham, because I heard after the game, and Tim's kind of... I know Tim goes down the road, Fulham's a good team to play, and a sunny day at the Cottage is no better away game. And I know he's not being disrespectful, but we've all known that. Were Fulham kind of fair game today for Liverpool, or was there more of a threat during the game at times?
First half, Rob, I thought Fulham were a threat.
Was it ever in doubt?
It was in doubt first half, At half-time... It's like, this is not done yet. And Fulham have shown that they've been a little bit awkward for Liverpool. Second half was different, and there just wasn't the determination, the drive, the desire to fight Liverpool back after they went ahead. Particularly, I think Gravenberch goal on the 54th minute. Yeah. After that, I don't know. Listen, and we talked about it, I think, briefly on the show, where when you're a pro and you've had 10 months of slog and you're towards the end of the season, the last few games, you look at the table, you're kind of comfy. I think it's natural human behaviour just to take the, you know, if there's an extra sprint or a track in a runner that 99 times you're going to do, one time you don't do it is when you don't really need to do it, in inverted commas. And I think Fulham were a little bit guilty of that in the second half. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe it was all about Liverpool's kind of play, but it seemed to me the game slowed right down, and which really helped Liverpool comfortable. It wasn't kind of in the faces and getting pressed and forcing turnovers for Liverpool's second half. It just wasn't. And they went on, and you know, we were looking at subs warming up, Rob, with like, well, Salah's going to come on and they're all going to come on after about 60 minutes or 55-60 minutes, then the goal started to go in. See, that's it. You see, 54th minute at Gravenberch. It was just before the point when, okay, send in the cavalry, like send in our top players.
Didn't need them.
They came in and played, but that's just for like, you know, get your legs going again to be in a good shape for Wednesday. Yeah. So, no, job done, Liverpool. No drama.
Yeah.
Good changes. Everybody's rested and they are absolutely in the picture now. And this thing is going to kind of change a little bit. Momentum's going to change a little bit. And maybe we'll talk City when we've spoken about Arsenal, Rob, and the pressure that could be on them with possibly 4 points behind from both of those teams that ahead as they get two games in hand. But
if they both win
midweek before they play Brighton on Thursday. But no, Liverpool got the job done.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so Liverpool got the job done. The question was, would Arsenal get the job done? Away at Wolverhampton Wanderers, not an easy place to go. Gary O'Neill's team always well set up. It was an Arsenal team that were coming back off the disappointment of the defeat last weekend and then the defeat to Bayern Munich in the albeit after extra time in the Champions League. So I thought, Rob, again, my takeaway from this game was, and I thought Mikel Arteta was very honest and very forthright with his views after his great interview you chaps and Bex had with him. You know what, Rob, to me, there's a difference to this Arsenal team than there was to the Arsenal team last year. And yesterday's game was a perfect example of the difference. Yeah. Yeah. I think this time last year, possibly draw that game.
Yeah.
Possibly draw, might be a little 2-1 loss and like we're back in. This team have learned, have grown, have matured, and I sort of had my headlines as 2 goals, 3 points, clean sheet, top of the league.
Mm.
That's all that mattered in the day. And Arsenal played like that's all that mattered.
Yeah. You know what, Robert? I'll follow that point up because I kind of agree. And even though it wasn't the same sparkly Arsenal that we've seen this season when they're at their best, you know, they're kind of breathtaking, some of the quality and the short passing and the combinations and how bright and how fluid and how quickly they move the ball. It wasn't quite that, but it wasn't far away from that. So that backs up your point, Rob, of last year, there was a bit of a panic up and their kind of approach and their standard performance, their basics were altered. The basics stayed the same. Mm. And a lot of their football, it wasn't a lot different. It just wasn't quite as good, but it was enough to get the job done on the day. You know, you can't say that Jesus played well. Can't say that Kai Havertz played well in midfield. You know, you know, there was a moment in the game before the goal started to come for them that I'm sort of longing for. I know Saka, you know, Saka down the right-hand side and Martinelli. Martinelli's kind of a little bit out of favour. Maybe he's a little bit out of form. But I always kind of, my default when I think of Arsenal at their best, it really is Martinelli's threat and goals from the left, Saka's from the right, Odegaard finding ways in between. Mm-hmm. And I thought they might have to get to that. But the amazing goal from Leandro Trossard, the sliced toe poke, I think I best described it, where, I mean, the weirdest strike I think we've seen right into the top corner. Mm-hmm. At that point, then Arsenal, they kind of played their normal game. They got the goals. Really nicely done.
It's interesting. So you've talked about three players or a couple of players who, you know, didn't really happen for. And as a team, they weren't, you say, weren't at the sparkling best, kept to the basics. I got three players I'm going to mention to you, my friend. Leandro Trossard, I know he's one of Musty's little favourites, makes him nice and warm and cuddly when we talk to him. And his little strike, Rob, his little kind of right foot pokey toe thing. He's got a habit, Rob, of catching balls in this unusual way, left or right. He's got 9 Premier League goals, mate. He's had 20 starts out of 47. He's got 9 Premier League goals. Only Saka's got more goals than him in the team. So he's an important element of the team, whether he's starting, whether he's coming off the bench. Declan Rice, my friend, is a colossus. Declan Rice has got to be in the running for player of the season. Yeah. Now, whether he wins it or not will be up for debate. He is... Do you know what, Rob? As I was watching the game, I wrote a couple of things about him. He's quick, as in he's pacey quick. He can run past people that most kind of midfielders of his ilk. I wouldn't say Rodri, who's probably the shining example of the best. I don't think Rodri runs past many people like Declan Rice. Mm. But he's also got this endurance thing where he can go like from one box to the other. He had a run late on in the left to the corner. Mm. He runs half the length to the field with the ball. He's got technical ability and he's got really quick, clean feet. He's like this mix of all the things you'd want in a midfield player that he gives. And then the biggest thing he's got is a heart and a drive that's saying he ain't going to let things happen like they did last year. Difference maker for the team, along with Trossard. And I've got one more for you, mate. And I don't think we're doing it underappreciated this week because of the week we've had.
Interesting.
We'll catch up with that. But if we don't do mine... David Raya, my friend, is somebody who's not appreciated in the Arsenal team. Let me tell you, he's not appreciated. They're defending so well because they've got the best centre-back pair and they've got Declan Rice. They've got 13 clean sheets on the season. They've got 6 successive away clean sheets. Let me tell you what happens if Gomez's goal goes in at 1-0 before, it was about 10-15 minutes before Arsenal score. It could have been a very different day for Arsenal. It could have been a little, another disappointment and things not go well. David Raya has had his moments. Has not been...
As good as you'd expect?
He's not had as many, maybe, as big moments as you'd expect. Mm. But the consistency, his ability to play out of the back row under pressure... Mm. He comes up with a couple of big saves when he needs to. I think he's been quite underappreciated. We all loved Ramsdale. We all didn't know what Mikel Arteta has done. He leads the Golden Gloves, mate, by I think it's four clean sheets to the next keeper. I think it's Pickford and one other who've got nine. He's got 13. Sneaky, good, solid goalkeeping appointment for Arsenal.
Yeah, I hear you, and I respect that. I'm not quite as enamoured, maybe, with his impact at the club as you are, but not to say that I'm way off on that. Definitely a good save, Rob. Definitely a good save today. And there's been a few of those. I just would have expected... Maybe my expectations were a little off. You know, when you're going to move on from Aaron Ramsdale that was really, really good, I just expected a bit of a... There's been too many moments over the season and where it's like, wow, like that. What's that? And what's he doing? And I don't know. I'm just not quite as, you know, a lot of your shouts. I love your Declan Rice shout. Couldn't agree more. His runs late on where he's a little bit more licensed to get forward is making the team blimmin' mentally tougher, stronger. Look at me, follow me. I really like that. And Rice done okay. Rice done well. Good save in this particular game. But no, that's why there's two Robbies, mate, and we'll have different thoughts and opinions. We're not going to agree on everything. But I appreciate the shout, and there's he's certainly not been bad for Arsenal. Maybe I've expected a little bit more of a finished article, a confident kind of classy
possibly.
Performer. But and it's reps, and you're right. Maybe there's been a lot. There's been fewer of the little moments where you think, I thought this guy was going to not do that. But the way he plays out is great. And I think it was Gary O'Neill in his presser before the game, Rob, that said, we have to think about Arsenal and do we press Arsenal as much? Yeah. Because they've got a goalkeeper that can play out. And if you've got a goalkeeper that plays out, correct. Invariably, he's a spare man, a goalkeeper in teams when they play out from the back. I mean, no one's going to go and mark a goal. So he's a spare man. If he can play... then it's annoying because like you go and close him down,
drop a little bit,
he slaps into somebody else and they get out. So
that's
a really important part of the way they play. Just a quick line on Wolves for me, Rob, and this is not to say anything at all. Well, it's not to say anything on Gary O'Neill. He's done a phenomenal job. He's right near the top of the list of managers of me have done an incredible job. But you can't keep doing that with the amount of injuries that he's had. It's incredible. I think a 15-year-old player on the bench, Chihuahua, that played in a wide position. You got people playing in different spots. You did actually have a few players back in this game that those didn't look particularly match fit and rhythmed and everything else. And I just thought Arsenal had quite a good opponent, Rob. Quite a good opponent for an away game in Wolves that have done remarkably well given the squad that was light and tight at the start of the season. Plus, I've got my list here. There's still like 6 or 7, 8 injured players at the club. So, well done, Arsenal. It's a little similar to Liverpool. So important that they both bounced back.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, the your point about Arsenal of changing of last year, this is a really good example. My notes going into the Arsenal game was, don't let this season fall away again. Don't. You just can't. You can't let it drift away because they're negative feelings. The belief and the confidence around the club and the fans. So well done. Well done, Arsenal, for keeping Man City and Liverpool honest. And I think for us, as neutrals in this, please keep City honest. You know, let's push them. Push them all the way. Because if they win all the games, they're going to win the title with their game in hand or whatever. But Arsenal did what they had to do. And again, not amazingly glittering, but efficient, consistent, reliable, solid defensively, much better. Yeah, really good work from Arsenal. That's a really good win, important win.
Yeah. Just before we move on, Robert, I just want to touch on something that came up in this Arsenal game, came up in the Man City FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea. Both managers talking about the workload on the players, the unacceptable and dangerous situation that players have been under having to play. Mikel Arteta was strong after it, Rob, and talked about the well-being of his players, you know, giving them enough time to rest and recover so they can perform at the right level. I mean, there was a lot of furor, and quite rightly, around the FA Cup with the lack of replays and people, you know, realising that what that means to lower league football. We've both been in lower league and know how important and how big those days are. But do Pep and Mikel Arteta have a point, Rob, in terms of, you know, like 48 hours after games, you know, Pep's game was played on the Saturday, could have been on today on the Sunday, gave him 24 more hours instead of, you know, playing on the Saturday. Arteta, after a massive Champions League game in Munich where they stayed over, I was reading, Rob, they stayed the night to try and be better. He said they had about 3 hours sleep. They get back to London, 48 hours later, they're travelling to Wolves. Are we pushing players too far? Is this why maybe some of the quality? I'm wondering if some of those, you know, these big games when we say, oh, you know, it hasn't quite lived up. Are the players being flagged so hard that at times there's not that sharpness in your legs, there's not that sharpness in your mind where you can go again? Are we got to be careful when I'm getting to that saturation point?
Yeah, I think we are, Rob, and you know, I think let's be brutally honest where the blame lies here. The blame lies with what often the blame comes to is money. And UEFA's determination to increase the European competitions, the Champions League as a new format for next season.
Champions League, more
games. Like, and they're the ones, in the FIFA Club World Cup, there's an expanded version that's more games for the players. Yeah. The international players don't get a break. There's tournaments at the end of the season. That's the problem. And if you're, you know, I absolutely feel for the Football League, by the way, weren't even consulted about this agreement between the FA and the Premier League and this money.
No, it's incredible.
And then they're doing away with replays. I mean, the replays, I mean, I feel uncomfortable, Rob. I feel really uncomfortable about this.
Yeah.
Like, the small teams that, you know, if you're little Oxford United, where I started, and you draw a big team and you somehow fight and scrap and find a way to draw the game, to go, if you're in the third tier or fourth tier, and you get a chance to go back to a Liverpool or a Man United.
To take Man U, Chelsea.
It's so amazing.
Spurs,
and that's going to go. That's going to go.
They're massive days in your career, mate. They're massive days in your career, and they're massive moments for fans. Not everybody can win the Premier League. Not everybody's going to win a domestic trophy. But sometimes, Rob, those big games, those big moments, or you talk about 20, 30 years after, about people who've been to the game, you know, have got the programme still from the match, had a memory, saw a goal, whatever. And we've just got to be so careful with where football's going and the amount of play and, the you know, whether this football regulator is going to come in and maybe adjust things a little bit and have a little bit more of a different view on things. We're going to have to wait and see. I just felt that Pep and Mikel Arteta were putting it out there, Rob, that we've just got to be careful where we go with the demand that we're putting on the current players.
But what can they, you know, what can they do?
The amount of injuries.
Yeah, it's just there's got to be something done, Rob. And listen, let's just remind everybody that, for example, the Bundesliga is 18 teams. They have one cup competition, and there's 18 teams, and they have a winter break. So there is ways of mitigating the workload on top players by doing things like that. But that's another decision that, you know, what comes into play, Rob. The Premier League, do they want to have less games?
Correct.
Do they want to cut two teams away?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the League Cup is not no longer. In the next 5 years, I'd be surprised if the League Cup still continues the way it is, mate. Because the big clubs don't, you know, it doesn't affect them. Yeah. They don't want those games. They don't want those matches. They're probably saying that they struggle to sell out those tickets. Mm. And, you know, a European place will go elsewhere league.
Just to finish up on this, Rob, without being too much doom and gloom, I've never known a season, right, where so many clubs have got so many injuries. And there might be other reasons for that. These longer games, 100-minute games.
Yeah.
You know, if you work it out, it's like multiple games, four or five, six games more per season or extra time.
Stop sorting, isn't it? Yeah, VAR hanging around.
I mean, I've got all the other players, my game notes here. I mean, look at Luton Town. They've got like 10 or 11 injuries. Like, you know, Man United have had... I mean, all the teams have got crazy injury lists. And people don't want that. We don't want that. Fans don't want to see... They want to see the best players week in, week out. And the more games you give them, and the pitches are so good now that that encourages the fast football. And the intensity, as we know, Rob, has gone up every single year. And the stats and the data, the amount of sprints, the amount of hamstring injuries from player sprinting. And maybe some of our listeners, Rob, and watchers now are like rolling the eyes where they get paid fortunes. Well, don't care what they get paid. This amount of games, at the intensity there is, then they're going to be injured. And I don't think we all want that. Yeah. So I don't know what...
No, and it's going to affect, affects the spectacle of what we've got, and it affects what's great about the Premier League, that we can see people go toe-to-toe and enjoy those games, and you know, that's what we want to see. So, just a thought that they come out, and there's obviously going to be more talking about that, and we're going to have to see what the Premier League and the Football League and the FA decide to do about protecting the game so that money is trickled down to the low end, but protecting the players as well and making sure... that we give them the right rest and recovery after these huge games, especially when they're travelling in Europe and then coming back to domestic football. Let's get to domestic football. Let's get to Goodison. Huge game down at the bottom end of the table. Everton off that terrible defeat midweek. I think we all felt they've got to be better. They'll give some kind of performance. Against a Nottingham Forest team that played decent football, Rob, that I think Nuno has brought on to... I think a different type of football than Steve Cooper played, but a little bit more confident, a little bit more proactive. But it's Everton that get the win, get the two goals. The controversy here, Rob, was a couple of decisions that didn't go Forest's way. I think it was three actual penalty claims. Yep. They all involved Ashley Young. They all weren't given, and they all kind of fell back on VAR. And Stuart Atwell, I believe, who was the VAR referee, who now it's been seen as is a Luton Town fan. Yeah. And this was flagged up, I think, by the owners and a few people in the staff at Nottingham Forest before the game, and obviously has now blown up into a real story, Rob, as Nottingham Forest are not happy that Atwell was in charge of VAR and none of those decisions were given. I have to say, two of the three I'm not sure should have been given. Yeah. One I thought was a penalty kick. I thought the foul of Ashley Young coming in the back of Ilanga when Ilanga's when he was taking the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get none of the ball. He hits him in the back of the ankle, hits him in the calf, he goes down. The referee doesn't give it. Surely that goes to VAR. VAR looks at it and says, at the very least, come and have a look at this. Do you see there's no contact? He doesn't get the ball. But for nothing to be given, I kind of blows open, Rob, this. How is Stuart Atwell and VAR refereeing this game when he's a well-known Luton Town fan?
Well, I mean, just quickly on the decisions, the three of them, and I don't know. The first one, you may get that one. You might get that one. The little clip on the back of the heel for the first
clip
turn.
On Gio Reyna.
Some might have given that.
Could go either way.
Yeah, and I still think that most referees don't give that if they see that incident. I know that the Premier League, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but they said that the bar was going to be a little higher for a foul in the box. We have seen ones given like that, so I get that. I mean, even if it's 50-50, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And it's not a clear and obvious error. That's number one. Number two, the handball from Ashley Young when it goes to the back post. Again, I believe that more referees would not give that. Have we seen them given like that? Yeah, I'm sure we probably have. But again, surface borderline, I think it's less than 50-50 for me on that one again. So not for me, but maybe. But the last one, I agree with you. Now, the statement, and this is where it gets... crazy, because almost the whistle's blown at the end of the game where, of course, Everton won the game 2-0. Good strikes from outside the box. Just a Gunnigay initially after 30 minutes and Dwight McNeil off the post. There's plenty of space, by the way, in midfield for these two players to take their shots uncontested. But 2-0 the loss, and this is what we get, is a social media post from Nottingham Forest, the football club, the official post. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest Football Club will now consider its options. Now, what the heck those options are, I don't know. I hate the fact that clubs now and Nottingham Forest, they've hired a good friend of ours, Mark Clattenburg. We've talked about him before as a referee consultant, which is a new position in a football club that I've never seen before. I mean, this statement. You know what, Rob? And I saw some reaction from different pundits around the world, and I saw one from Jamie Carragher. I read a quote saying that this was like a fan in a pub writing a kind of a complaint on social media. It's lacking any type of class. Mm. It's not the right thing to do. It's inaccurate. It's not three penalties which simply cannot accept. It was one bad decision, in our opinions. What do you think, Rob? First off, on a football club that is making that kind of statement afterwards, straight afterwards.
I think it comes across. It reflects badly on the football club.
It really does.
And the game. I think it's part of, listen, Mark Clattenburg got to justify why he's at the football club. Now he's justifying it in that, like, we'll look at our options kind of line is very tenuous and I'm not sure what more can you do? You've put it out there. What more you expect to do? You're thinking somehow we're going to get, you know, the game replayed and Atwell's not going to be on it. It begs a question that you're suggesting a referee is not given one of those penalties because he's a Luton fan.
Yeah, the VAR's a Luton fan. By the way, Rob, so if he's a Luton fan, I mean, why doesn't he give one? Does he? I mean, is he assuming that? I mean, Everton. I mean, why not give? Why wouldn't it? I mean, wouldn't he want a draw if you're a Luton fan? Wouldn't you want a draw?
He might want it exactly. So I just that whole thing, Rob, and I just don't like the connotation that it has. I don't think it's Forest. I think Forest are better than that as a football club.
Of course they are.
Yes, listen, we can argue about the penalties and some, you know, if you maybe wear the red of Forest and you're a Forest fan, you say one of them should have been given. Yeah. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that at all.
No.
What I'm going to argue is the way that this has been bought out. And this doesn't feel like Nottingham Forest, mate. And I've said a number of times, this league is better with Nottingham Forest in it because they're a proper football club.
I enjoy watching
them. They've got great history in the club. And we enjoy watching them. Mm. And they bring something to the Premier League. But I don't like the route that they've gone down. And I hope in the next couple of days it will drift away and they'll decide not to make too much of it. It's not a good look. And it's not a good look for Mark Clattenburg, I don't think. It comes across as though he's just sitting there waiting for any referee to make any kind of statement, or VAR to make any kind of statement, and he's jumping on it. And he's jumping all over it. And we know Mark well, and he's been a great referee, been right at the very top. But he doesn't need to act in this manner. So, listen, let's see how that one plays out. Obviously, Forest have got an appeal, I think. Is it this week that they'll find out about the appeal of the 4 points that they were docked? I don't know where they're going to go with this VAR as well. So an interesting couple of weeks coming up for Forest with maybe decisions made off the park. But, you know, Nottingham Forest really just got to concentrate on making sure they stay above Luton Town. There's one point now between them and Luton, Rob?
Mm.
You know, so they're still very, very much in it. Luton, 34 games played, 25 points. Nottingham Forest, 34 games, 26 points. So, you know, with that points deduction, it has knocked them. They need to make sure they're concentrating on the games they got left and making sure they get enough points to retain their slot in the Premier League.
Rob, just to finish off on their statement, the FA, the Football Association in England, is investigating this social media post. And when you start to, in inverted commas, question the integrity of an official or referee, you're in trouble. Mm. You're bringing the game into disrepute.
Yeah.
And I think we're in this situation where they're questioning the integrity of, who was it again?
Correct.
I've lost my... Stuart Atwell. The apparent...
Stuart Atwell,
you question his integrity, saying he's a Luton fan, he's making
good
decisions. That is not...
Based on being a Luton fan.
Yeah, so they're going to be in trouble. Frost will be in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mowing Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner, too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right.
Yeah.
What we got next? We have got just a kind of a whip around, Rob, really, of the other games around the Premier League.
Yeah.
I'll just do a couple off the top here.
You talked to me about Brentford and your man, Johan Wiese. I know you've got a lot of Wiese love inside you at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I do love him. I think that he is, and I'm going to give it. I'm not sure we've organised our underappreciated this week, Rob, and with all the stuff going on, FA
yeah,
Cup.
Yeah, so it's just been a bit busy week.
It's been very busy. Yeah. I don't know if it's an official or not official, but I'm giving my Johan Wiese is the underappreciated performer this weekend, and underappreciated because not only just for his general play, but because of the football club and because of Ivan Toney and because of Brian Mbeumo. Mm. Johan Wiese is the third player that gets kind of love. Every time I see him play, he's a threat. I remember I gave it to him a few weeks ago. I remember a game now where he was all over the place. He's involved in everything. He links a play really well. He gets inside the box. He helps defend as well. So Johan Wiese had an absolute game. First couple of goals, they score. Pinnock scores the next one from a set piece. Lewis Potter at the back post. Kevin Sharder goes through. I mean, Luton Town were, oh gosh, so disappointing, Rob, what I expected in this game Kenilworth Road against Brentford's side. You know, they're another one of those that are kind of floating in an area where they're probably going to be okay.
Mm.
I expected so much more.
Yeah,
that'd
be good now, yeah.
And Rob Edwards, Rob, going off at the end of the game, oh, he was shaking his head. He was almost like put his hand up to apologise to the fans going off, the Luton Town fans. I'm sorry, like we should have done a lot better with that. Did you see this one, Rob, closely? And what do you think? And how poor
were you? I didn't see closely, saw highlights of the game, but it was the first time, Rob, I've ever felt like Luton looked like a promoted team that were coming up who were struggling to get to the level. And that's the biggest sort of disdain I could say about this Luton team, who've had a go every game, mate, whether they've won four, got beat by City, whether they've been in games and lost it late and maybe a little lack of experience, but just not them at all.
Yeah.
A real bad day. I think Rob Edwards has talked about, we just got to, you know, put that one to bed and kick on again. Luton with a team who I felt believed that they could still stay up. They go to Wolves and they go home to Everton the next two games. Huge games for them in terms of trying to stay into the league. Mm. Rob Edwards has just got to, I think he's just got to find that belief again, Rob. You know, initially we all said the bottom three, the three coming up look like the three going down. And then I think we've all said Luton like the ones who are going to get out. And all of a sudden, like, you know, look at Burnley, Rob. Burnley have got themselves competitive. I know we'll go to them next, but Burnley 23 points, Luton 25 points, Nottingham Forest 26 points. There still might be a little race down there between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, well, let's move on real quick, Rob. And we don't want to be too long on these games. Mm. Sheffield United 1, Burnley 4.
Yeah.
Wow, like, you know, when you look at the points on the league table, they're not out of it. And it depends what happens with Nottingham Forest, with the points appeal and their general form.
Deduction, yeah.
Burnley, if they can win three out of the next four to get to, I mean, that's going to be 9 points. That puts them on 32. You know, if Forest capitulate and don't win another game, then they got a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't see this coming, but it's a tremendous victory, Rob, isn't it? Away from home. Sheffield United now done and dusted.
It just gives them home.
Haven't been good enough. Sheffield United are going to get relegated, but Burnley still fighting. Aston Villa, Rob, the next game. Aston Villa
still fighting.
Yeah, Villa 3, Bournemouth 1. I think I'm right in saying that Solanke scores the penalty, wasn't it, to put them 1-0 up in Villa?
Yeah, he gets a penalty, doesn't he? Yeah.
And Morgan Rodgers, my boy. My boy Morgan Rodgers, Rob.
Yeah, he's back again, isn't he?
Blimey, continues to do clever things in and around the box, clever little moves for his goal, chucks a ball back and finishes off real nice. And, I mean, Villa, you know, puts themselves in a very good
point. What a week.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And they're 6 points clear of Tottenham. Tottenham got two games in hand, but a really good win for Aston Villa. And moving along, Rob, Crystal Palace 5. This is a very un-Palace-like 5-2 against West Ham United. Now, there's two parts to this, Rob. Yeah. There's the Oliver Glasner and how they look so different with Ezra in the team, with Michael Olise in the team, with Jean-Philippe Mateta.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, Rob, and I know we could talk, but isn't it funny how a striker in a different team with a different approach, with different wide players, is a different player? Jean-Philippe Mateta under Roy Hodgson for many like months, like, when's he ever going to score? What does he do? You know what? But now, all of a sudden, when your wide players stretch opponents and asking questions and crossing balls in, and they look like it. And again, it was in that window when games were going on. And every time I looked at the Palace game, wow, they look like they're going to score every single time I looked up there. So he has made some difference. And it's New Palace. They've made a really good appointment in Oliver Glasner. And as long as they can keep hold of Ezra and Michael Olise in the summer, which is a big if, then there's some fun and exciting times for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and add, Rob, I think this is a Palace team that's ambitious with Glasner. He's probably got one or two players he knows around Europe who he thinks can come in as well. He's got a young squad there, mate. There's a young group of players there. They've definitely got a manager who wants to get on the ball. The big story coming out of this one, Rob, will be David Moyes again. Yeah. And add to the will he or won't he be there next season? Losing in Europe this week against a Leverkusen team that don't lose to anybody was obviously one part. Losing 5-2 to Crystal Palace is not a good look by any means for West Ham and for David Moyes. And I know there's been the line lately is careful what you wish for with David Moyes. You know, it could get a lot worse. I sense there's now a group of West Ham fans who are like, listen, we'll be thankful and grateful for what he's done, but it kind of feels like the time's now for parting, Rob.
You know, I have flip-flopped a little bit on this, Rob, you know, and I'm a little guilty of that. But I did say at some point, I think I said, to be fair, give him another season and this will come to a natural conclusion, whether it's kicking on and doing great or whether it is coming to the end. I mean, it does feel like it's kind of coming to a natural conclusion right now. And I think, you know, what also influences me, Rob, is the kind of the standard, the quality of coaching right now in the Premier League. And some guys that might be available could do a really good job at West Ham in a more progressive way. I was speaking to Tim and Rebecca about this today, Rob. Now that the Roy Hodgson's gone and you can look through this Premier League table. I think we were talking about Everton with Sean Dyche's kind of approach and style. I'd say Sean Dyche and David Moyes are the two of the more pragmatic, but that's kind of it. Wherever you look in the table, you've got bright young things. Glasner's a great example at Crystal Palace. I mean, I'll go through this. I mean, it's not working out for. Sheffield United, I guess, is probably different. The level, they haven't quite got the right level now. But Burnley are trying to play in a progressive manner. Luton Town certainly have. Nottingham Forest under Nuno, not so much under Steve Cooper, but certainly under Nuno is more progressive. Yeah. Everton, no, not so much. Different, and that's okay. Brentford always try and be on the front foot. Palace are. Bournemouth are, and the new guy. Fulham have, Wolves are, Brighton, of course, Chelsea, everybody else. I think the game is changing.
Man United, maybe not so.
you're right there. So I don't know. It does feel like, Rob, that it is going to come to a conclusion and an end in the summer.
I wrote the same thing.
Yeah.
It just feels like I saw a West Ham fan say, like, you know, you really appreciate what Moyes has done when he came in. They were fighting relegation. He's taken to European semi-finals. They won the Conference League. Yeah. But he said 20 or 30% possession every week, sitting back and waiting for a counter-attack. It's kind of feels like yesterday's tactics.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I got the same thing, Rob. I got a very good friend who's a huge West Ham United fan, and he said to me actually today on a message sort of saying, like, you know, he's fed up with the grass, you know, be careful what you wish for. For him, he wants something a little different. And I think the players, the recruitment, some of the recruitment's been really good at West Ham. They've got some good players there now. And it's whether you might lose the will of some of these talented players if it's still, if there's a little bit grinding, a little bit pragmatic, etc. Yeah. I hope it doesn't come across as being disrespectful to David Moyes. What a job he's done there.
No.
But the fans, absolutely. they are the club, really. The fans, the supporters are the heart and soul of clubs. And if there's too many that want to see something different, then the ownership has to seriously consider it. And I think this result is a bit of a shocker for Moyes late on. And maybe there's going to be a job coming on the market for somebody.
Okay, my friend, let's turn it to FA Cup semi-finals played over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, we saw Manchester City taking on Chelsea. It's a City team that obviously went the full rounds with Real Madrid, lost the game in the end of penalty kicks. Obviously tired, obviously fatigued, obviously mentally not probably in a great place, but they had to get the game and in the end got the job done, Rob. It wasn't pretty from City's point of view. At times they looked out on their feet. Chelsea, I thought, did as well as could have expected. I thought it was one of those days where Pochettino set his team up right. Then the day he's not got a centre forward who can score goals, that can take the chances in Nicholas Jackson that the team created. Mm. And Manchester City end up in another FA Cup final, Robert, and have a chance of the double. And after what they'd done last year and the pressure and mentality that was on the football club, it'll be an incredible achievement if they can end up with a treble last year and a double this year.
Yeah, and I think you said it, Rob, at the start. It wasn't a pretty performance in Man City, and sadly, the way I think these Champions League games come at this point, the teams are exhausted. We've talked to all of them. You know, the top three right now, they're all hanging on a little bit in terms of their performance levels. I mean, I do have to go back to Nicholas Jackson, Rob. It is a story. On one side of it, fair play. Like, he gets a lot of chances. He's on the shoulder. He's one of them that's half-turned. He wants the ball in behind. His finishing is really poor right now, Rob, and it was a little embarrassing for him, some of the opportunities that he had. I mean, I watched the game because it's difficult. We had Premier League games going on. Yeah. There was a little window where we could sit in our dressing rooms and just watch the game. And I probably watched 20 minutes of this game. He could have scored three goals in 20 minutes. I guess it was those three chances. So that's unfortunate for the team and for the club. And, you know, that's the way they are. Yeah. Bernardo Silva scores the goal. 1-0. Thank you very much. We get to another Wembley final when you're right. I always want to see the best teams, any teams really, a little rested. And I know we've got midweeks coming up, but after this bunch of midweeks, I really hope that there could be some rest. I know then you've got a few days out for the next weekend. It's just so many games right now, but City and Pep went mad, didn't he? He had a right rant afterwards about how the TV companies are not helping with the fixtures. And the TV companies, they pay the big bills. They want games on in best slots with the best teams, and that's the way it's always been. It isn't like other countries, Rob, where the Dutch League might put Ajax's game on the Friday because they got a Champions League game on the Tuesday. Yeah. They help out their teams. It's a little different because in the Premier League, well, how many? It's like 4, 5, 6 teams in Europe, and you can't help all of them. Yeah. So
can't change all that,
Yeah, so it is what it is, and they've done remarkably well to handle it. Another final for them. Chelsea will lick their wounds, and I think it's pretty clear there's good moments with Chelsea. There's some good passages of play, some bright. I really like Malagusto at right back. He's so confident on the ball, so good, and the midfield looks better. I don't know. There's parts of it I really like. Obviously, there's some big parts to plug and to try and improve. Whether they got the money to do that is the worry for the Chelsea fans. But no, well done, Man City.
Well done to Man City, and then we have to finish the podcast off with the, I'm calling it the Manchester United experience, my friend, because it seems in some ways that's what Manchester United are. I remember this starting last week's podcast with us, and we talked about United, Rob, and I said, isn't it funny with United, like, they never have a cruise control, they're never controlling games. It's like they're one of them teams who's always drama. And I've got to tell you, mate, at 3-0, at 58 minutes on the clock, Bruno gets the third goal. I swear to you, I turned back to put USA on to start watching, catch a bit of the Liverpool, because I'm saying 3-0, game's done. 3-0, game's done. Maybe, I don't know, if Coventry might get another. And then I was doing something, and I looked on my computer, mate, and I saw 3-2. And I'm like, what? So I jumped back on my remote to check the game again. And as I'm checking, it was the last penalty kick. Had you right, it was just taking the penalty. 90 plus 5, had you right, scores the penalty. We're 3-3, mate. And I'm like, I'm just shaking my head going, this can't be true. Please tell me. And I saw the goals then and saw the way it played out. And I saw your under-10s football again, going from one end to the other.
Oh, no.
With Coventry, looking, you know, yeah. Man United smashing the ball with Bruno and Ellie Sims smash one against the ball for Coventry. And Coventry have a goal that's just ruled offside, like toenail offside, when they think they've won it late in extra time. I suppose you've got to say in the end, United got two, well played. Inanna come up with a couple of saves. They blast one over the top. They win the penalties. They're through to the final. They play Man City. And that was what was the aim at the beginning of the day. But, I mean, Rob, it feels awkward to feel pleased for United in these circumstances.
I mean, I'm going to challenge when you say well played. It's not, is it? I mean, they got through.
Well, you're in the final, well though, mate, aren't you? So you've done what you've accomplished, what you set out to do. You're
I
in
suppose
the final.
So. Oh, right.
And if they win the
games.
Final, if they win the final, yeah, if they win the final, and in a year's time, we won't go, oh, remember the Coventry game when they're 3-0 down and then they'll see 3. We'll say, oh, Man United won the FA Cup, or Eric Ten Hag, if he's putting his case to Jim Ratcliffe and the new staff now, if they won the FA Cup, that's a piece of silverware that he's won. How he's won it, I'm not too sure. Because if you're using how he's won it as any kind of template, Eric Ten Hag may as well pack his bags now. Because I'm sure if you're a Manchester United owner and you're seeing your team get run ragged in the last 30 minutes and can't hold on to a 3-0 lead and control the game in that manner, then, that's a worry, my friend.
I don't know where we go, Rob. I mean, it was 71st minute, wasn't it? 71st minute, I think, was
the 71st minute, yeah.
Well, they were 3-0 up.
The first goal.
The 3-0 up after 70 minutes in a game against Coventry City of the Championship. With 20 minutes, a neutral venue, Wembley, with tons to play for, you can't see that out for the last 20 minutes is astonishing to me. And we had the game on, of course, we were focused on our game. It was on in a random little monitor in the corner of the studio. Yeah. And we were, what is happening? Like, it was insane, absolutely insane. And the faces of him at the end, even though they win the penalty shootout, I just don't know where where that makes any sense that you can have full trust in the manager that enables that comeback for Coventry City, a neutral venue, in 20 minutes to score 3 goals. And that is the nature that we've said, Rob, that there's a game at one end, there's a game at the other end, and you know what? Yeah. We might win this game. I mean, that is astonishing to me. And but they're through. And I think it will be remembered. It will be remembered, Rob. That is a FA Cup classic. That will be a classic forevermore, that semi-final and how that came about. And you've got a feel for the players who miss the penalties. One of them's crying at the end there.
Yeah.
They gave everything. And for that club to get to an FA Cup final, and I know what it's like to do. I've been there. I have done that. I have been there. And we have got there. And we lost in the final. But to play in that thing was the highlight of my whole career. To walk out in an FA Cup final that, as a kid, I dreamed of doing. And these players were so close to doing it as well. And penalties, my goodness, what a cruel way to go. But the story will be Man United and how that happened. But they did find a way to get through. And they're through to another domestic cup final for Eric Ten Hag. I'm exhausted.
Well, Ten Hag, if he's... I mean, the look on his face, Rob, was golden. Cause it's like, I mean, do you really... It felt hard to kind of celebrate that much when the circumstances of how you got there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's 3-0 and you end up winning, then it's a great, lovely professional performance, no doubt. If 3-3 you avoid, then you end up having to do it at penalties. They, toenail, it could have been gone the other way with a VAR decision. It's just, one of those looks. I saw Jason Wilcox and a few of the Manchester United owners and staff were looking down, and you just wonder what they're thinking. Where do they see the future? Are they okay with that, Rob? And, you know, we've got through, or they're expecting a little bit more. I've got to tell you, if they play anything like that last half an hour against Man City, it'll be 6 or 7, by the way. Because City will be rested, City will be motivated. Yeah. They'll be looking for a double, and they may well have won the Premier League by then. And if they're going into the FA Cup looking for that double, then United better be in better shape. But, yeah, it's like Ten Hag just to go and win it, mate. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, there was a little shot, Rob, and I'll finish with this. There was a little shot of Mr. Glazer in the stand next to Sir Jim Ratcliffe. And Mr. Glazer looked kind of enjoying himself. And Sir Jim Ratcliffe was, his face was like thunder. His face was like, he was not, I don't think he was impressed one bit by what he was watching. Of course, Sir Jim Ratcliffe knows football possibly a lot better than Malcolm Glazer. But no, an astonishing game at Wembley, and this amazing FA Cup, Rob. And, you know, we'll finish, I guess, now. And I'm chatting earlier about this competition and what it's meant to me and you and others. And I'm afraid it's been a little bit downgraded given the lack of replays.
Yeah, it's tainted, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a little tainted now. Tainted, but it just shows you the magic of the cup, and great example in the semi-final.
Absolutely. And Crystal Palace, Coventry City fans will have been dreaming at 3-3. And for a moment, they thought they'd made it into the final. And, you know, we've got to make sure that those days remain for players and fans at clubs that maybe aren't big Premier League clubs. But that's it for this weekend, mate. As Arsenal and Liverpool both win to go back top of the table. It'll be a Manchester derby in the FA Cup final. Two very different semi-finals, but it's blue versus red at Wembley on May the 25th. We'll be back on Thursday. That's with the midweek podcast when all the top three will play. We'll get the next thrilling instalment of the title race, and we're going to have a special guest join us on Thursday, Gary Lineker, who sits in privileged position of Match of the Day host. He's going to join us and give us his take on all things Premier League from his position in the UK. But for now, I'm LP's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Selling smoothies is what I do. But for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.